Now to the Nobel Prize for Medicine, with two pioneers of stem cell research sharing the iconic prize. One, Sir John Gurdon of Britain, and Shinya Yamanaka from Japan. But the most remarkable aspect, perhaps, of this year's laureates is that the research of both scientists is separated by almost 40 years. It may surprise you, it certainly was a surprise for me, to discover that it was back in 1958 that John Gurdon discovered that a mature cell in a frog held all the information needed to develop into every other kind of cell, including into stem cells. And the paper publishing the results was published as far back as 1962. Nadia Rosenthal is a close friend and colleague of John Gurdon's. She's the director of the Australian Regenerative Medicine Institute at Monash University. And she joins us now on the line from Sutton Island in Maine. Nadia, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Phil.
Well, it certainly was a surprise to me. I'm sure it's not to you scientists that this is very old research. Back in 1958, paper published in 1962. Have we really known about it all that time?
We have. I remember it clearly. There was a really rather modest response to John's discoveries. They were a bit eclectic. They were certainly not mainstream, and they were totally counterintuitive. It was also done in frogs, and so it was very much of a specialized result that many of us in developmental biology, which is the study of the embryo and how it develops, were terribly interested in. But I wouldn't say that it got into the front page of the newspapers.
No.
On the other hand, had we understood what he had really discovered and what it would lead to, we certainly would have had a lot more publicity surrounding it then.
Mm. I might just get you to step back a little bit from the phone there because it's just popping a little at our end. But
I'm sorry.
That's fine. The news, I suppose, the publicity about it, the talk about stem cell research, has only happened recently. So, what caused the science world to suddenly realise that this had a wider application than John Gurdon's research would seem to indicate?
It's a gradual advance that occurred. The initial observation he made was very stunning and yet really had no genetic explanation. So it was a phenomenon that required years of research to understand exactly what it was that was at the heart of what he had discovered. What were the genetic underpinnings of his discovery? And once those were started to come forth, the understanding of how these very early cells in our body then become specialized to the extent that they are was somehow changed, because we understood that there were certain cells in the body, such as stem cells, which then had been discovered in the meantime, which seemed to retain some of the same characteristics that John's frogs were able to reproduce. And I think that was when people began to look back at John's work, which really told us a lot about how stem cells behave. And then, of course, the extraordinary discovery by Shinya Yamanaka that a surprisingly simple recipe of genes could reproduce what John had done in his transplant experiments really blew the field apart.
So, in essence, John Gurdon discovered that a cell contains all the genetic information to turn into any other kind of cell, and to try and put this simply, correct me if this is not right, but Shinya Yamanaka discovered that you could reverse engineer that.
Indeed. Well, John, he actually reverse engineered it by taking an adult nucleus, the part of the cell which contains the genetic information, and reintroduced that into a fertilized egg of the frog. Now, the fertilized egg is a very rich mix, and obviously there were factors in that egg that were able to tease apart the very, very closed box of information sitting in that nucleus of the adult and open it up to allow for all of the programs to be recapitulated and a new frog to emerge. And what Yamanaka did was to somehow recapitulate the environment of a fertilized egg with four genetic factors. And those four alone could produce the same effect, in essence, that John's transplant experiments were able to produce at a far, far smaller frequency, I should say. It's rather inefficient.
Yeah, it's been a great journey for John Gurdon. He's nearly 80, I understand, still publishing, of course, and he's testament to the fact that you shouldn't necessarily pay attention to what you're told in school. At his news conference today, he spoke of a former teacher who ridiculed his interest in science. Have a listen to this.
The schoolmaster wrote this report. The main gist of it was that he had heard that Gurdon was interested in doing science, and that this was a completely ridiculous idea because there was no hope whatever of my doing science, and any time spent on it would be a total waste of time, both on my part and the part of the person having to teach him.
So there you are.
Yes. That's John. He's very understated. Apparently, when he heard that he had won the prize this morning, he simply thought someone was pulling his leg.
Yeah. How far away are we? Because there was a lot of excitement about stem cells some years ago. Perhaps it was due to the celebrity endorsements and so on we saw. But how far away are we from seeing the techniques that he pioneered and developed by these two scientists and Shinya Yamanaka as well? How far away are we from seeing them used in everyday circumstances, like repairing hearts after a heart attack or stopping Alzheimer's or any of these things?
We're not there yet, but what we're learning from looking at stem cells and the way that we can reprogram normal cells to become more like stem cells is telling us a lot about how the whole process of development works. And until you really understand how a heart develops, it's very hard to understand how to repair it. Bit like trying to repair an automobile without understanding how the mechanics work. And in fact, one of the more immediate goals of regenerative medicine, which is based on John's work and has now been really propelled by Yamanaka's discoveries, is to be able to understand how individuals in our society differ from each other and might be susceptible to different diseases. And by simply being able to take a cell out of the body of a person, a skin cell even, and reprogram it and allow it to then develop in a dish, we can understand better how, for instance, there might be a defect that could influence the way in which heart disease would progress.
Mm.
So that kind of personalized diagnosis is something that both of these real giants in the field have pioneered.
Okay, you say we're not there yet. Do we need another breakthrough? Is it a conceptual issue that's holding us back at this point, or is it simply developmental?
Stem cells are tricky, and in fact, they don't always do what we think they're going to do. And simply squirting some stem cells into a heart, unfortunately, does not repair it. It produces a number of helpful factors that the stem cells secrete, but they themselves don't appear to become part of the heart. And so we haven't really realized that fantasy that John's work promised, in which any cell could become any other cell. And that's probably because we don't understand the rules whereby these cells learn to do whatever their environment dictates. And until we understand that, it's going to be very hard to coax them into these more extreme transformations that we're hoping would really revolutionize the field of regenerative medicine. But that isn't to say that the cells themselves aren't extraordinarily useful in a number of different areas of medical research. And there's no question that this prize is absolutely well-deserved by both of these candidates.
Mm. I don't know how much personal influence he's been in your own life, but to be 80 years old, speaking as he does, to receive the Nobel Prize, to be still publishing, might be evidence that there are some of us who need stem cells and some of us who don't.
John
Gurdon probably is one of those who doesn't.
Yeah, I think John Gurdon must be taking a secret medicine that he must have produced secretly in his lab. He's an extraordinary man, and it's been a pleasure and a privilege to know him, and I couldn't be happier for him. I do respect him enormously, and if I could be as productive and as intelligently dedicated as he is at his age, I would be a very happy scientist.
Yes, I think we all would be. All right, a pleasure to talk with you, and fascinating research. Thank you for that.
No, my pleasure.
That's Nadia Rosenthal, close friend and colleague of John Gurdon, the co-recipient of this year's Nobel Prize for Medicine. She's the director of the Australian Regenerative Medicine Institute at Monash University, speaking with us there on the line from Maine in the United States.